What you're about to listen to is a BriFi production.
Comic book reviews. Nifty nerd news. Heroes vs. villains. Hey everybody, welcome back to welcome back to the BriFi podcast. Welcome to an episode of 8-Bit Geek Horror Fest, brought to you by the BriFi podcast. Or at least this episode's brought to you by the BriFi podcast. The 8-Bit Geek guys were really great to ask me to come back for another installment of their 8-Bit Geek Horror Fest, which is so much fun. I enjoyed it last time, and I couldn't say no. I had to say yes. Plus, Halloween's fun, you know, like getting to celebrate it, getting to participate in Halloween events and candy and scares and just, you know, it's like Christmas, but for emo kids. It's so great. I had to come back and had to talk. This year, the theme is horror in space, which is a lot of fun and really scary. Like, one of the scariest things to me is space. Well, actually, it's probably open water in the ocean. That's probably the scariest thing to me. And are really deep pools, you know? It's just like something really fearful. Like, someone's going to get you, like giant squids, megalodons, or things that we don't even know of yet, you know? Like, they say we know more about the universe than we know about our oceans. And that is god dang terrifying to me. That is the real horror here. And that's really what I wanted to bring to your attention. No. we want to talk about space and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to go slightly a little different. If you ever listen to the BriFi podcast, I'm a down-to-earth guy. I like to be a little bit down-to-earth. So my horror in space adventure is actually coming down to earth a little bit, but it involves space creatures and things. So hopefully you guys will forgive me. I somehow tricked the 8-Bit Geek guys into letting me do this. So, I mean, that's all that really matters, you know? But I decided to go with Alien vs. Predator, which came out in 2004, which was the first movie in the Alien vs. Predator franchise. But it was so great at the time when I was a freshman or sophomore in high school when it came out. But to my little just developing mind, high school freshman, hormone-driven developing mind, that blew me away. I was like, you're telling me you're getting those crazy-ass aliens that are like, and, you know, that's exactly the sounds they make. And the little clicker refrigerator predators that, you know, they do their click noise that I can't really do. So I'm not going to try because I'm already embarrassed for doing the alien thing. You're bringing them things together to fight. That's freaking awesome, man. That's like everything that I've wanted in a movie. That's like taking Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, making the Mortal Street Com Fighter. Ooh, Com Fighter? No. But yeah, you know, mixing two things that I really love and bam, getting it. But I also learned that this was also a comic book idea back in 1989, which is really awesome to me, because I do a comic book podcast and that's what I'm interested in. But that's like the source material. That's where it came from. That's where they started doing screenwriting stuff. And I'm sure, you know, the studio then stepped in and said, like, screw that. We want to studioize it and then just ruin the movie. Because let's face it, Alien vs. Predator, despite how cool the idea was and how great it could have been, was not really the best movie that could have been made. In fact, it was kind of just not good. But you know what? It tried. It started something. And that's all that really matters, you know? And I think what really kind of makes it kind of weird is that Alien vs. Predator is like the pre-sequel to like everything that's going on between Alien and Predator movies. So obviously, if you guys follow any of the movies, you have Predator 1 and Predator 2, which happened like, I guess, during Vietnam in one of them. I'm trying to remember the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I think it's Vietnam or something. It's not, because they're just in random Central America or like South America. But it's still like 80s, 90s. Like, I don't know the exact time frame that they have in there. And so you have that. Then you have the second movie. Danny Glover's in it. He's like a cop and he's fighting predators, right? So you have those. So this movie's kind of is a sequel to the Predators. But then Aliens doesn't happen until like 2150 something or whatever like that. So it's a prequel to the Alien movies. And I have a lot of questions with that already, because one, if you follow the Predator movies, humans survive those instances. Arnold, I can't even remember what his character's name in there, survives his run-in with the Predator. You're not telling me he's not running to his major like, I'm the Predators, like crazy aliens that get invisible and shoot you. Like, he's not like freaking out telling someone about this. Or like Danny Glover's just like, hey, yeah, you know that crazy thing that was skinning all the, like the Jamaicans and killing the Cambodians and whatever? Yeah, it turns out it's an alien. And like me and like some other people know it's aliens, and we should probably get prepared because they're probably going to come back, which he says in the freaking movie. Like, I've watched the second Predators. He like hints at like, oh, they'll be back, you know? So, oh my God, why is no one doing it? Why are we not preparing for the eventual return of Predators? That makes no sense to me. And then, of course, you have the alien aspect of this movie where someone, spoiler alert, in Alien vs. Predator, someone survives the encounter. How does she not tell anyone what happened? Just like, well, you know, code of silence type thing. I signed a non-disclosure agreement. Can't do anything, you know, because that would have really helped out, like, everyone in the Aliens movies. Because then they would have been like, oh, hey, these things are in space. That's probably not going to be good. So, yeah. I have some issues with this movie, but at the same time, I have some love for this movie because it was like my first foray into all this. You know, actually, I had seen parts of Alien and parts of Predator before this, but I never had watched any of those franchises all the way through until I watched Alien vs. Predator. So it did do one great thing for me, and that is it got me interested into all the source material of it. And so, you know what? Let's just talk a little bit about the movie. So that's kind of my introduction into it, why I wanted to talk about this movie and why I like it, despite it not being the best thing. But now let's go on and let's give a little bit about this movie. All right, so with Alien vs. Predator, like all good space movies before it, all better space movies before it, and all slightly better ones after it, kind of starts out pretty generic to me. Like, I feel like all sci-fi or anything kind of like settings, they always start off with a satellite or like a computer or a reading, and then someone's like, hey, I got this really strange reading. And like, that's how this movie started. They get a really strange reading. It's over Antarctica. It's like, hey, we got a heat source that's going on. That's a little weird because that's a continent full of ice. So maybe we should go check that out. And that's exactly what they want to do. Head guy that runs the company, Wayland Industries, which may sound familiar to you Alien fans, headed by Charles Bishop Wayland. Yeah, that's right. The android from Aliens, his name's Bishop. Well, guess what? The dude who owned the company 100-something years earlier, that's him. We get him. It's the same actor. It's pretty friggin' awesome. But then the idea of, oh, you know, 100-something years from now, my company is going to make an android in my likeness and then send it to die or, well, do evil shit. Kind of weird, man. That's like taking Steve Jobs or Bill Gates. Well, I mean, it's literally taking Steve Jobs, Bill Gates. It's the freaking holograms that people are doing. You know, like Tupac's hologram and all that. That's what this is, man. And I really want a Selena hologram because I love Selenas. But anyway, I'm way sidetracked here. So, yeah. Bishop here decides, hey, we need to get a ragtag group of people so that way we can go investigate that thing and get rich off our asses. Because, I mean, honestly, that, when something that's really out of the norm and kind of out of this world happens, you got to get rich off of it really quick, man. I'm just saying. So he gets a team together, which involves badass chick, knock off Antonio Banderas, not Laura Croft Tomb Raider chick, sad father who just wants to get back to his boys, and it makes me sad because I'm a father who just wants to get back to his son, and so he's the guy I sympathize with the most. And then just extra, 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 extra nobody, British dude with gun, other British dude with gun, guy with scar, and bunch of other extras. And there you go. That's the cast of the movie. That all you need to care about. Really, the only people you need to care about, Bishop, badass chick, and knock off Antonio Banderas. Sorry, I had to think of their names. Because these are the names in the credits of the movies that they just give them. You know, the only one that matters is Bishop because he ties into other movies, which makes Aliens vs. Predator relevant, or it forces it to be relevant to the Aliens movies. And there you go. That's what makes this movie awful. No. So yeah, they totally get this. They go there. They show up in Antarctica where the signal's coming from, and they see this giant perfect hole just shot through the, or, well, they don't see it actually get shot through the ground, but it's in the ground all the way. It goes all the way to the pyramid because they're just like, yep, that goes all the way to the pyramid. So yes, it goes all the way to the pyramid, which is how this movie works in a lot of instances, which kind of bugs me after rewatching it now that I've grown and have become an adult 30-year-old and I'm not 13 anymore. And the first thing they do is like, well, let's go down there. Let's completely ignore the fact that it looks like this is a laser that came from space that goes all the way down in less than, like, it took 24 hours for this thing to appear. Obviously, it's man-made and we have nothing to worry about. So we should go. Like, that's the conclusion that they come up to. Like, just YOLO, dollar bills, yo, and just go. While all this is happening, like, they're going down to the pyramid, people are just going, whatever. Like, throughout the entire movie at this point, there's just countless reasons from a higher power are telling them, hey, you probably shouldn't do this. Like, they're giving them signs, like, hey, this is weird. You see this giant hole? That's weird. Hey, this hasn't, like, it's a pyramid in Antarctica that no one's known of. That's weird. It's got a heat source to it. No one questions why it's got a heat source to it. That's weird. There's a lot of weird going on. And everyone's just like, but whatever. We got a movie, and we got time to fill with not story, is basically what's happening here. They all fly down the tube. Some people stay back. Those people are going to learn that was probably a bad idea. They should have just left, completely left. But no, they decide to hang out around the hole because I guess they're evil henchmen for the good guys or something. I don't know. That's when three predators show up. Not just one predator, which killed platoons of people. Not just another one predator, which killed, like, tons of gangs in the city and stuff. Which, I have to remind you, no one warned them that predators exist in this world. Although people know that there are some people in this world that know predators exist. So this is an issue. So these three predators, which are capable of killing, we'll just say, a couple hundred of people before being noticed, show up. And just, you know, take out the dudes that decide to stay on top. And now they're like, hey, them humans are going into our little pyramid thing. That's not cool, man. We got to go down there and do something about it. So everyone goes down into the alien pyramid thing. Well, I can't say aliens because they don't know it's aliens yet. They just know it's the pyramid thing. And they're all freaking out. They're all like, wow, man, there's like hieroglyphics from like Aztecs, Cambodians, and Egyptians, like, it's all three. Like, this is where they all came from. This is the original one. And then everyone else is just a pretender, is not the real Stan Lee. And so, like, it's just crazy that they're able to read all these hieroglyphics. But then I think, oh, yeah, I guess scientists really can read these hieroglyphics. I would just think it would be a little bit different. But what do I know? I'm just a moviegoer and actually not a scientist at all. But yeah, so they're all doing that. They find their way into this weird round room chamber that has like mummified bodies or just dead bodies sitting in it. They look very, very dead, and they have giant holes bursting out of their chests, which no one's immediately like, that's weird, that's gross, we probably shouldn't be here. Everyone's like, hey, let's get our faces like right up into it and see what this is all about. That's creepy as hell. That's what white people do. I am not white people. I'm Hispanic. I wouldn't have even been there. I would have been on the boat cooking dinner or something like that because, you know, racism. Anywho, while all this is happening, the three predators are making their way into the base or whatever. And I found out through Wikipedia, they actually have names. I had no idea they had names. And I think they're even credited in the movie with the names. It's Celtic or Celtic, depending on if you, I guess, know how to say it. Chopper and Scar. Remember Scar, because he's the one who's going to make it to the end. And spoilers, the other two die because they're not predator enough. And that's really about it, man. But something happens to Scar that's going to really affect the timeline moving forward, or might not affect it at all. I don't even remember, because I don't remember if I watched anything, any of the Aliens or Predator movies after Aliens vs. Predator, or if I've even watched any. I haven't even watched any of the movies. Like, I just stopped here, went back to watch the first couple, and was like, I'm good. It's fine. We're all good here. So all that happens. Everything's happening. Also being set in motion because of the giant heat source that is happening is there's a giant queen alien just in the basement. And, she, you know, they're milking her like a cow, but I guess it's more like chickens, you know, making them lay eggs and stuff. And, you know, the question that I have is, how are they fertilizing her alien eggs so that it produces alien baby thing, face huggers? But then I think, well, you know, it's aliens, so maybe it doesn't have to work the way that it works with chickens, or, you know, I'm getting way too, like, thoughtful into this. I just need to accept it for what it is. Mindless cash grabs. So, anyway, she's pumping out eggs, and they're going down a conveyor belt. Those eggs eventually are going to make their way to, you guessed it, the sacrificial chamber where all the humans are. But that's not exactly how, like, I mean, it gets there, but we got a little bit to go. In fact, you see the predators right away. You get a glimpse of the alien right now. But the movie goes, like, a good 45 minutes before, like, any, like, crazy action picks up. Like, I mean, the predators do kill some people up to this point, but that's pretty much it, you know? And they're, like, pretty secret. No one really knows, oh, someone has died yet, you know? Because they're all people who've stayed back and stuff like that. So everything's still pretty chill for the peeps. They're not, you know, they're not freaking out yet. They see that there's like a hole that goes like down a tube from the sacrificial chamber into another chamber. So one homeboy pops a freaking glow stick and then just raves it down the thing. So hits the bomb. They're like, hey, there's another room down there. So they decide to go down to that other room. Girl gets there, looks at her wand. Like, this part, I almost lost it because I was like, you got to be kidding me. She gets on her little compass watch and's like, yep, we're underneath the sacrificial chamber now. And then steps over the glow stick that the dude just dropped from the sacrificial chamber. And I'm like, oh, what, you know, what gave you any kind of clue there? Was it the fact that maybe it was underneath? The fact that you could hear the people from the room up above? Or is it the goddamn glow stick sitting in the middle of the room that you know the dude dropped down? So I got a little kick out of that. And there's like some other little moments in here. It's like, obviously, like, exposition. Like, they say it for the sake of saying it, which is so stupid. But a lot of movies do that. Especially horror movies do that a lot. But not the great ones. The great ones don't do that. But none of them are about space. All the ones about space suck. Except for Aliens. And I think Moon's really good. But they told me Moon's not a horror movie. But I beg to differ, because it's about a dude who's all alone on the moon, and that's creepy. I hate being alone. Loneliness is the greatest horror of all time. Well, other than being in the middle of the ocean or in, like, the deep end of a pool. Being alone in the deep end of the pool or in the middle of the ocean, that is the scariest thing of all time. Fear. Happy Halloween. No. So all this crap is happening. The humans stumble upon this sarcophagus. They open it up. Turns out there's these weird futuristic things in there. Spoiler alert, they're shoulder cannons for the predators. That sets everything, that sets the whole, you know, shit to the fan mess in motion. Eggs come up to the sacrificial chamber. Everyone's like, hey, what the hell are these weird alien eggs? They start opening up. Little spider things are like sticking out, and Chick's like, what did you call this room again? He's like, the sacrificial chamber. And then everything just goes to shit. The people down here, everyone's screaming up top. Things start moving. The pyramid starts shifting and crap like that. And now it's like, holy crap, we've made a huge mistake. Forget all the other warning signs. This is where it's bad. This thing that is in my face, injecting me, impregnating me through the stomach with alien baby, that's the sign. That lets me know we've done goofed here. And so now it's about time to get like crazy, man. That's what we're looking forward to. And so let me take a deep breath. Let me get a drink of water and let's get into the crazy. All right, I'm back now. Had my drink of water. Throat's a little bit better. I can talk a little bit better. Actually, I want another drink real quick. So take a moment. Delicious. Delicious. Refreshing. And let's talk more about aliens. So, shit. Totally hitting the fan. Chest bursters everywhere. Just... And then they're just flying off, you know. The other group, which is really, by this point, there's only four humans left by this point. Everyone has died except for crazy old wheezing man Bishop, who is going to die. You realize, oh, he is like fatally ill. He's dying. Badass chick who was like, I didn't want to go on this trip, but I decided to go on this trip because the guy that you were getting to go on this trip, really bad and shouldn't go on this trip either. So I'm going to go on this trip anyway. Then you have low rent Antonio Banderas, who is just smoldering the whole time. Like, he always looks at things like, I'm an archaeologist. So he's kind of weird. And then who else is alive? Oh, yeah, black dude with gun. British black man with gun in very deep voice and sexy. He was the Idris Elba before there was Idris Elba. I think I'm saying his name right. Am I not? Crap, I don't remember if I'm saying his name right. Anywho. Oh, yeah, there's this little... dad of the year with two sons is still alive, and other Scarface dude who has a son too, which they've bonded over now. They're both still alive, but not for long. Bam, bam, dead. Aliens get both of them. Friggin' sucks. And after that, the four people are trying to escape, but then here come the predators. And so they're like flying around, they're jumping, being invisible and shit. They kill, oh yeah, I forgot, there's a few more extras just hanging around at this point too. But then, spoiler alert, they don't hang around too much because the predators kill them. So I just introduced them to get rid of them. For your sake. I am doing this for you, unless you've already watched Alien vs. Predator, and then this is a terrible retelling of this story. But thank you for hanging out with me for now. So everyone's being killed by predators, which friggin' sucks, which gets us down to the last four people. But then by that point, an alien shows up because, I mean, I guess it only takes them a few minutes to grow to full, like, freaking adults. And he starts, like, going ham, and two of the predators end up dying because I guess they're just not man enough, you know? Alien's like, wah! And tail's flying around. Like, the pesky tail, that's the thing you gotta look out for because it's sharp as shit and will kill you. And so that, like, just... bam, gets them. And then they got the little, like, you know, the penis head thing where, like, the head just growls at you and opens up. And then there's a little tighter, like, penis head that just and, like, punches through your skull. Yeah, that's going to get you, too. So that happens. They end up dying. Alien, I believe, gets away at that point. Seriously wounded, but gets away at that point. And, like, everyone's, like, freaking out because they're like, oh, God, this is not what we signed up for, but I really want to get paid. But, you know. Stuff. We still got a movie to shoot, so we got more things to do instead of just running out of there. And so, this point, badass British black dude dies because of reasons. Because he's not a main character. That's what happens. He just dies. And they can never just let more than, like, why does it only have to be, like, one person? At least, like, well, what movie was it? Was it Deep Blue Sea? Yeah, they let two people live. And that was cool, because one of them was LL Cool J. And cool's in the name. Anyway, so everyone's trying to leave. The big main predator, his name is Scar. He's like the badass of the group. He's able to like kill an alien with his bare freaking hands, and it's pretty badass. But when he kills the alien, now he's turning into the humans, because he knows the humans has got a shoulder cannon, and he really wants that, because Yeah, he can kill aliens with his bare hands, but he can kill a lot of aliens with a shoulder cannon and get, like, really badass with it. So now he's chasing smoldering, low-rent Antonio Banderas, badass chick, and old coughing man who's going to die. Old coughing man who's going to die decides, hey, I'm going to die, so I'm going to sacrifice myself to stop the evil predator dude. And so he's like, I'm old, and like, get off my lawn, and like, stands in front of the predator. Like, what is he going to do? Predator looks at him and then decides to like do predator vision thing on him and is able to like x-ray his body. And then I guess the predators are doctors because he looks at him, looks at his like lungs, and is like, oh, you going to die, motherfucker. And then just walks past him, like lets him go. But Bishop ain't gonna go out like some punk bitch, so he basically gets hairspray and a lighter and tries to kill the Predator with it. The Predator turns around, it's like, all right, I was gonna let you live, but you done goof, bitch. And then stabs him. And like, girl and Antonio Banderas, not Antonio Banderas, are just like, oh my god, no, he died, I can't believe it. Well, I mean, you kind of knew he was gonna... He told you he was going to sacrifice himself to die. Like, he was dying anyway. Regardless if he would have killed the Predator, he would have still died. Like, he was going to die. He's old. That's what old people do. No, that's sad and wrong, and I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Anyway, so they decide they're going to escape. They get up to, like, where it looks like they're going to escape, and they try to jump across a little ravine. And, of course, they don't make it all the way. Like, oh, no, I got to hang off the ledge. And Lorraine Antonio Banderas comes back like, I'm going to save you. Then he gets taken by an alien, and he's like, I'm not going to save you. You got to save me. And then he's gone. And she's like, I'm all alone. And that freaking sucks. By this point, they have realized two things. One thing, they're all probably going to die. Second thing they realize, which... Okay, this, I guess, bothers me a little bit. So, like, they're in a room, her and Lorraine Antonio Banderas, before he dies, and they're coming across some hieroglyphics. And he's, like, looking at them. He's like, well, I can't really make them out all the way, and it's kind of incomplete. But here, I'm going to give you the complete backstory, even though we can't read the complete backstory. But here it all is, as if it was all written and printed in a book for me. And he tells, like, a story of how the Predators have been coming to Earth for thousands of years. And, like, they've introduced aliens to Earth and have forced people to, like, you know, the whole pyramids and stuff. Like, basically, they've created the first civilizations and the Aztecs and, like, all the Egyptians and the Cambodians or whatever. And, like, that's why pyramids are done. That's why their ancient civilizations were the way that they were and all that kind of crazy stuff. And what they did is they used the aliens on Earth, like, in the human sacrifices as a means, as, like, a warrior's trial, or, you know, a coming of age trial for young teenage predators or something like that. Wow, that sounds weird when you say teenage predators. So, like, you get all this backstory in this little room. You see the one predator fight off some face huggers, and then one flies at him, and the camera goes black. I guess we're supposed to assume nothing happens, but obviously something happens with the predator in that face hugger, because then in the next scene, you see it on the ground dead, but. What did it do? Did it get him dead, or did it, like, he get it dead? We don't know. So, anyway, Lorraine Antonio Banderas, gone. Badass black chick still hanging around. Predator still hanging around. She realizes, hey, these little shoulder cannons are their weapons. I need to give it to it, and maybe it will be nice to me and not shoot me in the head after I give them the shoulder cannon. So she does that. Thane's like, thank you. You know, puts it on his shoulders like, this is badass. Now, cue alien fight scene. And so alien comes back to try to kill him. He's busy fighting it off, trying to kill it. Knocks off his hand, his friggin' shoulder cannon, which sucks because he just got it. But then the badass chick shows up and is able to kill the alien. She grabs his, like, predator spear, stabs it through, like, the friggin' chest. And then it's like, ah! And then it dies. But then it doesn't die. It tries to come back to life and shoot penis head at her face, and it barely misses, and then she's just like, oh, dear Jesus, I can't take this anymore. But it finally dies, rolls over. Predator dude's like, hey, you know, although you were really inefficient at killing it, you still killed it, so I got mad props. I'm not going to kill you. And then he decides, well, you know what? I'm going to give you some loot that I picked up. You know, I'm going to arm you up a little bit, because you're like a level 5, and I need you to be at least a level 10 to go through this dungeon, you know? So he hooks her up with, like, an alien head shield, which is immune to their blood acid, and then makes a spear out of one of their tails. He's like, all right, you go first. And so they run off to the pyramid. They're trying to escape. They end up coming into, like, the egg chamber room. He's like, well, I can't just leave that there. So he gets his little self-destruct bracelet, throws it in there. It's going to blow up. They start running out of the pyramid. By this point, Queen Alien has broken free of her chains, which I'm surprised she hasn't done in any of the other events that they have done on Predator Island here, which that sounds even worse when I say it that way, but that's pretty much what this is. And so she's escaping. She's pissed because obviously all her babies are dying and she does not like that. And she's going to try to hunt down and kill Predator and Badass Chick. Oh, her name's Lex. I just remembered all of a sudden, but I like calling her Badass Chick. They're able to escape up the ice slide, and the bomb goes off, killing all the aliens, the pyramid, everything. It's finally over. But of course, it isn't. Queen somehow survives because she's like OP as fuck and has all the hit points. So she survives. She comes up on land. She starts attacking Predator and Lexi, or Lex. Her name's Alexa, not Lexi. Alexa, what is your name? It's Lex, our Badass Chick for short, which is longer than Lex. Lex is short for Badass Chick. Anywho, so there's this big fight on top, like the whaling stuff. Like it's in like an old abandoned whaling factory or something like that. And they're having this big badass fight. And the queen alien's going crazy. She's just hacking and clawing and shooting her tail all over the place. She hits the predator through the chest. And he's like, oh, fuck, I'm gonna die. And while that's happening, Badass Chick Lex runs up and starts just stabbing her in the freaking throat. Just stab, stab, stab. Like, going all prison shank on her face. And doesn't even kill her. Just pretty much mildly annoys her. And so now the queen is after Lex. Lex hides under this giant water tower. The alien's starting to knock it over. And it's going to fall into, like, this giant cavern or in the ocean. And Lex realizes, hey, we can trap the queen because she's got chains wrapped around her. And so her and the predator work together. And, you know, he's all, like, stabby dead by this point, but he's, like, still able to help. And they push the big giant water thing over the ledge. Queen goes flying over the ledge and goes sinking to the bottom. And then Predator dude's like, well, you done good, kid. I got to go. Bleh. And he dies. And finally just dies from his wounds. And so now Lex just chilling there like, well, what now? And then all of a sudden, this big giant ship just like appears out of nowhere, just because it was invisible. And then like this big predator dude who was just invisible just materializing. He's like, you know, looks like King T'Challa of Predators just sitting right there. And like he's just looking like obviously they've seen everything that happened. Didn't even bother to stop any of it. But I guess, you know, it's a rite of passage thing. So like, nah, I know my son. I'm assuming it's his son or it's at least one of his clansmen. Or whatever, the big dude, I guess, in his mind, he's just like, yeah, I know he got stabbed in the chest, but let's see if he pulls this through, you know? It's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see how this goes. But, so, like, they're just, like, she's just staring, like, oh, shit, what do I do? It's just giant aliens, bunch of predators. They come, they pick up the corpse of the fallen dude and, like, take him in because everything else has been blown to shit. And, so they take the corpse of the fallen dude, bring him on the ship. King T'Challa, Predator, looks at her and is like, I noticed that you have the warrior mark on your cheek because it was burned into your flesh. So, yeah, I guess you're cool. It's whatever. And instead, like, no one thinks, like, not even the Predators think, oh, she might go and tell someone that this has happened and ruin what we got going. They've already destroyed our pyramid, so we got to figure out what the hell to do now for a rite of passage. But whatever, it's cool. You got the mark on you, so here, have a spear. Have fun with that. And then they just leave. They just, you know, get out of there. And they're like, we're done. It's fine. And then you see a scene of them on the ship, and you see the dead body of the Predator dude. And then finally at the very end, like it zooms in on him because they've just walked away. And then chestburster! And it's like a hybrid alien and predator thing that's just like, rah, rah. It's got the crazy like mandibles type thing that's just yelling and screaming. And then that's it. And pretty much end of movie. Lex is just left to die, I guess. I mean, I guess that's how no one knows after this happens, is because she just couldn't get off of Antarctica. She just dies. Like, end of story. I guess the Predators knew. You know, they're smart. They know our anatomy. They know how to build pyramids, and they have shoulder cannons. So, obviously, they're smarter creatures than we are. So, there you go. But it's all right, you know. When I think about it, despite all its flaws and despite all the things that I hate about it, and just the obviousness of, like, the stupid dialogue that they say, it's a watchable movie. Like, you can sit there. It's a fun, dumb movie. It, you know, for me, like, my podcast has a rating system. I try to use, like, you know, like, atoms and neutron type stuff, like with electrons, like positively charged and negative charged or neutral charged. And like how if I would promote something, not promote, like anti-promote it, or just kind of be indifferent about it. And I think Alien vs. Predator is one that I'm definitely neutral on. You know, it's got a neutral charge to it. It's an okay movie to watch. And when you're bored, I think the one thing that for me, because I don't know if I've mentioned this before, I'm not a huge fan of horror movies because they scare me and I don't like being scared. And so I think what's great about Alien vs. Predator for other people of my temperament are, you know, the same feelings of not wanting to be scared, is not really a scary movie. It's more of like an action type thriller. It does still have a bit of like those claustrophobic moments, like within the pyramid and how like the aliens are, you know, stalking them and coming out of like different corridors and like taking them up and like, you know, stealing them away and killing them and stuff. Like, there's still those horror aspects to it that the movie has, but the fact that you're getting to watch predators fight against aliens kind of rings it back a bit. Also, the gore is not as gruesome as it is with like the first like Predator movies or with the Alien movies. Like, you don't really get a good look at watching someone have a chest burster come out of them and stuff like that, or you don't like get to see like people skinned alive or body parts being ripped off from predators killing them. Like, it's very tame horror, it's very tame gore, and it's very just tame in general, and very tame storyline, or not even, it's just very not, it is what it is. It's a mindless summer film. I won't even call it a blockbuster because I don't think it was a blockbuster, but it was a cool concept. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I still think it's neat. I mean, obviously it's successful enough where it's gotten sequels to Alien vs. Predator and stuff. I mean, you've had Alien spinoff, well, Aliens was its thing before this, but Aliens has gone to do more stuff, and Predators is doing even more stuff now. In fact, I think they just had a new Predators movie like last year or this year or something like that. So, I mean, the two franchises are succeeding despite what Alien vs. Predator did. So, good on them, you know. like I said, okay movie, want to check it out? Check it out. I thought it was terrible in a lot of aspects. What I think is terrible about it is just you put it in canon with these other movies, but I think by putting it in canon, it should ruin the other movies because someone has to know about this. You know, Danny Glover's character in Predator 2 should have told someone. Like, someone should have known about this. It just baffles me that no one did, you know? Like, I can get how maybe in Aliens they don't know about it because maybe that chick, like, she gets off. Like, if Lex gets off the island and tries to tell people, they're like, no, you're crazy. There's nothing there. See, just a giant crater in the ground. You goof. Go away. Go to the nut house. Like, I don't know. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all I really wanted to talk about, Alien vs. Predator. And hopefully you guys enjoyed listening to me just kind of bitch and moan about it. But also for the parts that I did enjoy about it and the fun that I did have with it and all the random noises of my job, which is where I'm recording at. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. If you did, please check out my regular podcast where I review comic books, nifty nerd news, and all the other stuff. Talk about gaming and stuff, and talk about playing on my Nintendo Switch and all that stuff. So if that's something that might interest you, please go check out my show. Everything that you can find me on social media and all that is at BryFy Podcast. That's BryFy Podcast. But I want to give a huge shout out to the 8-Bit Geek guys, because doing the 8-Bit Horror Fest is so amazing. It's so much fun getting to do 8-Bit Christmas, which we did last year. Hopefully it gets to do again this year. That's the one I'm more excited for, because I love Christmas and terrified of Halloween. But I like Halloween. I like the candy and the sexy costumes, like sexy zombie nurse and sexy Captain America. My favorites. No, but super big, I don't even need to do a shout out. You're on their show. You're watching episodes from their show. I'm the guest here, but super awesome thank you to you guys. And don't know if you guys know this, but recently I had a birthday, my 30th birthday, and 8-Bit Geek guys, well, really props to my wife, because she contacted all my friends, family, and podcast friends and asked if they could all do like a short video to just tell me happy birthday and stuff like that. So shout out to my wife for doing that, reaching out to people, but also shout out to Jeremy, Doug, and Kev, because their little video turned into this funny, like, couple of minute mini podcast about birthdays and getting old and kids and family and stuff. And God, I laugh so hard. I'm probably going to post that video on my YouTube channel. So if you guys want to check that out and get a little bonus 8-Bit Geek, totally should, even though it's for me. But I kind of want to share it because it was just that good. And like, they even make a joke about, I'm pretty sure Brian's wife is only going to put like 5 seconds of this video on here. But no, she puts the whole damn thing, which is hilarious. And so, I mean, you guys know, they're all hilarious. Everything that they do is hilarious. 8-Bit Saga is hilarious. 8-Bits, or what is it? I can't remember the new show. God dang, I'm a horrible friend. Anyway, thank you guys for having me on. Thank you guys for listening to me. And thank you for anyone who goes over to my channel to listen to what I have to say about comic books and everything else like that. But that's it for this episode. Bryfy out.